You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Welcome aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes to join me in a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. Got a great program for you coming up today. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. It'll be our Off the Glass segment. We'll talk college hoops, and we'll look specifically at Iowa, Wisconsin from the Kohl Center coming up tonight. Last night's less-than-beautiful victory by Iowa State over Texas Tech. Also a big win for UNI last night as they took care of business in a big way over Valpo. We'll talk all about that and the latest as far as college basketball is concerned with Kevin coming up in just a little bit. Then Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will join us as we go into the final week of the NFL regular season. Talk about if your league is into week number 18 or you have whatever you've got going on as far as your fantasy football league is concerned. We will get your answers to your questions from Chris coming up in just a little bit. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications, the official sponsor of fantasy sports right here on KGYM. We'll also get you a Bowling Night in America. A happy Bowling Night in America recap for you coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. Welcome to text us. Welcome to give us a call at 319-366-1600. Text line and the phone line right there. Also, great to have you aboard. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker as well as we hover around the zero mark today. It was zero a moment ago. Mark, I am very sad to say we have dropped back under. We're at minus one right now. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's a little brisk, isn't it, Scott? Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. And we're not the only one complaining about the weather. I see friends in Tennessee are distraught over a couple inches of snow. Our friend Tyler Ryder, a friend of mine who just moved to Tennessee from Minneapolis, seeing the pictures, they're distraught over a couple inches of snow.
That friend of yours that moved from Minneapolis to Tennessee, they thought they were done with this, right? They thought they didn't read the fine print, did they? That it does snow in Tennessee at times.
They're very smart people, but I'm not sure they packed their snow shovel, okay?
True. So we'll talk some hoops with you and some fantasy football on the program today. Look ahead to Iowa and Wisconsin coming up tonight and talk a little college basketball with you as well. And again, 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Probably taking some news and notes from your scoreboard, Mark. I don't know if you had this or not. I think we all knew this was coming, but it's officially put out there by the former Washington Warrior, Orion Vance, and now Iowa State Cyclone, that he is coming back for one more year for his super sixth year. To be a linebacker at Iowa State. We kind of anticipated that. That was what everybody thought, but Orion put that out on his account today.
Yeah, I thought that was old news, but evidently it's not old news until the player himself makes an announcement, and that's what Orion Vance has done. And it's a big piece for Iowa State next year, I think.
Yeah, going to help things because they lose, of course, Mike Rose. Jake Hummel also gone from that linebacking core, and it helps to have some people back. And Orion's going to be the man as far as middle linebacker more than likely is concerned as far as Iowa State football. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And we start off with basketball from last night. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Mark, as Matt reminds us. It was a beautiful win by Iowa State last night. 3 made field goals in the second half and still a win. Defense, defense. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Yeah, Iowa State against an undermanned Texas Tech squad last night, missing their top two scorers. They had seven available players, I believe, and they made life tough on Iowa State. Played defense and played really, really hard, but in the end, a little bit too much Isaiah Brockington for Iowa State, and the Cyclones come away with a win that they need to have, especially if you take a look at the next four games coming up for Iowa State.
Yeah, when you've lost 23, 24 straight games in the Big 12, getting that first one, snapping the streak, is not easy, and it wasn't last night. I agree with you. Texas Tech played really hard with a depleted roster, and some are ruining the fact that the half-court shot ruined some betting lines and whatnot, because that's what it's all about these days, right? At any rate, a four-point victory for the Iowa State Cyclones, and nice to get in the win column, as Matt mentioned on the text line, and I'm sure all Cyclone fans would agree, but that was not a pretty one, that's for sure.
No. 9049 also letting us know, very happy to send Texas Tech out of Hilton with a loss last night, saying that Coach Adams, the new coach of Texas Tech has he does have a couple skeletons in his closet, but we'll see if that does catch up to him as far as recruiting and whatnot, as far as Texas Tech is concerned. But Red Raiders can play defense. Iowa State can play defense, and you kind of saw that coming. Maybe not to the extreme that it was last night, but a win is a win, as they say. And Iowa State got their first Big 12 win in a long, long time last night after going 0-4 in 2020-2021. So Iowa State finally got off the schneid. And as we said, the next four are really tough for Iowa State. So, yeah, we'll see how it all comes to a head here for the Cyclones, but they got some big roadies and a return match at Lubbock against Texas Tech in 12 days, which is strange as far as the schedule is concerned, but I've never tried to figure out schedules and computers and whatnot as far as college basketball is concerned.
No, and maybe there was a bit of a hangover after the Baylor game last weekend, in which Iowa State played the number one team to a five-point game. That's always difficult to determine, but when you have more turnovers than made field goals, that's not good, and you just hope it's an outlier.
Yeah, very true. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment. That's 319-366-1600. We buried the lead, Mark, and that is we have golf going on, by the way, in Hawaii on the PGA Tour. You and I are smiling from ear to ear tonight. We're going to be wearing out the remote going back and forth from Iowa, Wisconsin to the first round at Kapalua. So batteries are in hand tonight, extra batteries.
It warms the heart, if not the whole body, that's for sure, watching golf in Hawaii. I'll give you an update on that tournament. Just now getting underway. Of course, it's 4 hours time difference. But primetime golf the next 4 days.
4 hours and 80 degrees.
Yes.
As they say. Iowa and Wisconsin coming up tonight from the Kohl Center in Madison. We'll talk more about this in just a few minutes with Kevin Lehman with our Off the Glass segment. Really looking forward to this game tonight. Good time to take on Wisconsin, I think, after the Badgers win on the road at Purdue on Monday night. And we'll see if Iowa maybe can take advantage of the Badgers and their good fortune the other night on the road. We'll see. I think everyone waiting for the great individual matchup coming up this evening is two of the better players in the Big Ten are going to go at it head-to-head coming up tonight, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch Johnny Davis and Keegan Murray go at it, and I have a feeling they're going to be they are going to get the assignment on one another more often than not tonight defensively.
Yeah, we shall see, and we'll see what Kevin Lehman has to say about that and our chat coming up. But just a terrific piece by Michael Lawson in the Gazette today, advancing the game. I didn't realize how many similarities that Davis and Murray have I didn't realize Davis had a twin brother like Keegan does. Maybe you did. But, you know, the similarities besides their stature, Keegan is 6'8", Davis 6'5", but the scoring and right on down the line, very similar players, similar resumes. And it's not going to be a one-on-one contest tonight, but those two guys are the main principals.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. We'll see if Iowa gets some zone out there as well. We'll also see if we get the great anticipated showdown, not only between Murray, Keegan Murray. I think Chris is going to take Davis, too, sometimes. I also think Iowa's going to throw a little bit of three-quarter and half-court trapping on the Badgers a little bit. We'll have to wait and see. But also, the most anticipated matchup, Brad Davison and Jordan Mohanan going at it one more time. So a lot of people looking ahead to that. 3:15, we're going to take a break, get you a weather update as well as a break. Come back, and we'll talk about Iowa, Wisconsin. Look back at Iowa State's beautiful win last night over Texas Tech and more with Kevin Lehman, the coach, after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Sarah Flynn here with your latest Weather First forecast. A dangerously cold morning out there. It'll slightly warm up by the afternoon, looking at a high temperature near 3 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Tonight, more dangerously cold wind chills move in. Low temperatures will drop down to the negative teens. And that was your latest Iowa's News Now forecast. Have a great day.
It'd be nice to carry Lynn County REC around in your pocket, huh? You know, if you want to pay your bill,
it's right here in my pocket.
Want to check how much energy you're using any time of any day?
I'll just reach into my pocket.
Report an outage.
In my pocket.
Energy rebates are the latest from Lynn County REC. You guessed it.
Pocket.
It's that simple. All you need is the Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Then you can pay your bill, check your daily energy use, report an outage, etc., right from the phone in your pocket.
In my pocket.
If you're app savvy, just pick it up in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And if you'd like step-by-step instructions, that's a snap too. Get them at lynncountyrec.com, or even easier, hit up YouTube and watch Lynn County REC's Smart Hub video. Once you've got it ready to go, everything you need from Lynn County REC is right there in your pocket.
Pocket.
See how easy that is? The Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the handy benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
The Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn is hitting the road. Join us at Barrel House in Marion Monday from 4 to 6. We'll be doing our show live and spending some quality time with Travis from Wild Rose Casino and Hotel, reviewing and previewing the latest in sports betting in Iowa. You can also swing by for their tasty Monday night special, $7.99 burger baskets. Stop by, get your burger on, and catch the Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn live Monday from 4 to 6 at Barrel House on Tower Terrace Road next to the new Y in Marion.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of nine kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter, and it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class for this Thursday, the chilly Thursday on KGYM, 18 past 3. Coach Kevin Lehman's going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. And as you heard, coming up on Monday, it will be the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Hitting the road, they'll be at Barrel House in Marion over by the brand new Y from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock for their show. And swing on by and get ready for the national championship game. And that getting ready includes $7.99 burger baskets. They're going to be giving away some gift cards to the Barrel House the night of the show as well. So please stop by. And that'll be coming up on Monday. Of course, Todd and Alex coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, I should say, right here on KGYM. And then at 6 o'clock, we've got Big Ten basketball for you. It'll be Maryland and Illinois coming up tonight from Westwood One, and all of our frequencies will get that coming up just ahead of tip-off at 6 o'clock. Coach Kevin Lehman set to join us right now. It is the Off the Glass segment, and it is brought to you by Coldwell banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and surrounding areas. And you can learn more by going online at shootershomes.com. And, Happy New Year, Kevin.
Hey, same to you guys. It's a little cold out there, but welcome in 2022.
It was a little cold at Hilton last night.
It was a lot cold, and I heard you say earlier, you know, if a win's a win, even if you win ugly. And at the end, they don't ask how, they ask how many. So any way you can get one through the Cyclones, you got to take it and run with it.
Yep, very, very true. Is it just one of those nights? I mean, you got to tip your hat to Texas Tech. With only seven guys, they played really, really hard, played very, very good defense. I think they just kind of ran out of steam there at the very end of the ball game after they got the lead. But, hats off to the Red Raiders, and they'll meet again in 12 days.
Yeah, that's a strange quirk in this Big 12 scheduling, but you've got a game with 33 turnovers and only 34 made field goals. But Iowa State got to the free throw line, controlled the boards. They're getting some good bench production. Kuntz with 13 points and a couple rebounds. But, you know, I think, guys, when you look back at this, we were talking in November, we were kind of concerned about Iowa State because it was going to be a total rebuilding year. Iowa had a lot of new faces. But this is going to turn into a pretty good basketball year throughout the state of Iowa.
Well, let's get to the big game tonight, Kevin, at the Kohl Center in Madison. It's Iowa and Wisconsin, the top two scorers in the nation, facing off. How does one team stop the other tonight? What are your thoughts in terms of defending Davis and Murray?
Well, we know Iowa's going to play some zone. They're going to play some three-quarter court. I heard you guys mention that a little bit earlier. And I think the more Iowa can up-tempo this game, I'm sure the more that Iowa can up-tempo this game, the better they are. And we saw that against Maryland. We've seen that a number of times. But when you look at this Wisconsin team, they're playing faster than they have in the past, especially with Johnny Davis. And I think it's a good time for Iowa to go into Madison with Wisconsin coming off that huge win at Purdue. There's not many people are going to win at Purdue, and we've said that all year, and here is Purdue sitting at 1-2 in the Big Ten, a team we were already saying was going to be a Final Four team just a few weeks ago. But I think with Iowa, control tempo, they're so good in the open court. They pass the ball so well. But if you look at Wisconsin, this is another team that does not turn the basketball over. So it's going to be a lot of times these games come down to who does turn it over and at what times they do it. I think both Keegan Murray and Johnny Davis need to get some help, some support from their teammates. And whoever gets the most out of that is going to be able to win this game.
Yeah, that's what brings into play a couple things. Iowa's going to play some man-to-man, and when that happens, it's got to be Keegan Murray and Johnny Davis guarding one another. And I don't know who else on the roster of the starters can accomplish that. I mean, those two have to square off one-on-one, right?
Well, they will some, but I think Tony Perkins is a guy that can come in there and guard Davis.
Yes.
Perkins got some physicality to him. May give up an inch or so. I think that's a good matchup for Iowa when they come to it. You know, a lot of times when you talk about, and I ask coaches this all the time in our pregame chats about matchups, and people switch so much that unless you're taking a dead ball situation, matchups, they usually say, aren't that big of a deal unless you're going to really try and not switch off a person. I think the biggest thing, Scott, in these types of games is you've got to get to Keegan Murray or a guy like Johnny Davis in transition because that's where these guys excel. You know, we talk in football about playing in space. You know, Keegan Murray in space is unbelievably effective. When he's coming down full steam and can the ball's thrown ahead to him, the defense is backpedaling. And Davis is the same type of player. So transition defense will probably determine the outcome of this game. Who can get back and get the ball in control the fastest?
Kevin, one thing that stood out to me in looking at this game was that Wisconsin is one of the poorest three-point shooting teams in the country. 306th in the nation, under 30%. Very uncharacteristic of a Badger outfit, which only means Wisconsin will go 10 of 15 tonight, right?
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, you always look at those things and it's just, it kind of depends on who gets there because you got Johnny Davis shooting 82% and you got Brad Davidson shooting 86% from the free throw line. So those are two guys who can shoot. So maybe it depends on who's going to be at the line for Wisconsin. But, you know, those guys have the ball the most for this Badger team. And, you know, how about Greg Gard, guys? He gets heat every year. Every year they're trying to get him bounced out of there, and he just keeps winning. And this is a team, much like Iowa, where a number of starters departed, and he's had to rebuild this roster. And now looking at a team that's, you know, top 25, I think Iowa's knocking on the door of the top 25. If they win this game, I look for them to be able to enter that Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, we're burying the lead again with this. This potentially could be the final matchup, one-on-one, between Jordan Bohannon and Brad Davidson. And they've had checkered past, certainly good and bad, facing off against one another between Iowa and Wisconsin. But potentially this could be it unless they meet in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, that's a great point because, you know, Brad Davidson, he's one of those guys that if he's on your team, you love him. But if you play against him, you can't stand him. And the fan base can't stand him either because he'll do whatever he can to win a game. They've actually certainly had some altercations in the past. And, you know, Jordan Bohannon's the same way. That kid, I think Wisconsin games means a lot to him because his brother played there. So this is huge in different ways for both these guys. And we've had him around for a number of years, great competitors, great players to watch in the Big Ten. But, Scott, you got a great point. This could be the last time those two go head-to-head. So maybe we'll have a little bit of fireworks tonight between Davidson and J-Bo.
Hey, before
– Kevin, give us a couple players not named Murray or Davis that could be key tonight.
Well, I think the emergence of Chris Murray is huge for Iowa. And I'll give you another name, too. Joe Toussaint was – exceptional against Maryland. Best game he's played.
Yep.
He can produce like that again at Wisconsin. He's got 9 points, 9 assists. And I think they're starting to see a real connection between Toussaint and Keegan Murray, especially in the fast break situation. So that's going to be huge for Iowa to try to exploit in that area. And you look at this, and I heard you mention Mike Colossus' column regarding Davis and Keegan Murray. I was not aware that they both had that Davis also had a twin, that brother that's on the team. I see he's averaging like 1.7 points per game. So he's not going to be a factor tonight. But I think Chris Murray, the other twin, could be for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Kevin Lehman joining us. It's our Off the Glass segment brought to you by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. Check him out, shootershomes.com. What in the world is wrong with the Michigan Wolverines?
Well, I think it goes to point guard play. You know, they brought in that point guard last year from the Ivy League, and this year I think he's from Coastal Carolina. In fact, I had their game in the College Basketball Invitational Championship last year, and they're getting a little better there, but it was certainly one of the big disappointments in the Big Ten and maybe throughout the country this year. But, you know, it's Michigan. There's a lot of talk right now, even if they go 10-10 in the Big Ten, if all games are played, and that's a big if, they couldn't make it into the NCAA tournament in the field of 68. And that's quite a possibility because they just do not have any quality wins in the non-league play. Hunter Dickerson playing well, but they just got some other guys that have not lived up to expectations. And almost the opposite of what happened with Michigan last year when they outperformed expectations.
Well, did that Rutgers win over Michigan tell you more about Rutgers or Michigan, knowing that the Wolverines were missing a half a dozen players?
Well, I think Rutgers is a dangerous team, Mark, because, you know, they beat Purdue. You know, it was a three-quarter court shot that did it, but I think they kind of sort of noticed that the Rack, which is no longer called the Rack, now named after a sandwich shop, is going to be a tough place to play in the Big Ten.
Yes, it very much is. And, by the way, as you look to the Big Ten, guess who's on top? Everyone kind of piled on them in the preseason, but There's Tom Izzo in Michigan State right now at 4-0, including a it wasn't a pretty win against Nebraska last night, but you know, it was a bring your lunch pail to work type of Michigan State win last night at home.
Yeah, the same thing. You know, they win at Northwestern, a close battle there at Northwestern, but that's kind of what they do. And I'm starting to like this. I'm seeing other teams do what Michigan State does in the non-conference. You know, Tom Izzo was always scheduled up, scheduled big games in November, and it's paid off for him when he gets into the Big Ten season, because he's a guy who doesn't have to worry about his record. But I'm starting to see more and more of that in college basketball. You know, we're seeing Gonzaga do it quite a bit. We're seeing some other teams do it. I think Mark Few had a great comment the other day that college basketball needs more games where there's marquee matchups in November, December to bring attention to the sport during the middle of a football season. And before we had a lot of teams playing cupcakes, now we're starting to see people go out and really schedule some big-time games. And I'm sure they're doing it for recruiting, for exposure on television. But I think it's really good for the game of basketball that we have marquee games before you get into conference season.
Kevin, big win last night for Northern Iowa over Valpo. Are the Panthers on the way back?
I tell you what, Mark. This game in Evansville is the best they've played. And what was amazing about last night's game is they scored 92 points, and A.J. Green only scores 9. Because in the past, he was throwing in 30 or 35 when they scored a lot. And here's what happened. You know, they went to Hawaii and lost those two games on last possessions. And Seth Tuttle, I talked to Seth about this last night. He was homesick with the influenza flu. And he watched those games on TV, and he got a completely different perspective of what they were doing offensively. So they've really changed the way they play. You don't see them shooting quick threes now. They're really trying to score at the rim. And they have dominated the last four opponents in the paint. They're a plus 11 in paint scores going into last night's game, and they just destroyed Valparaiso. And they're not, and they're doing it without Austin Fife because he's not playing. And so they're running guys in, and they're spreading. They're playing, look a little bit more like Iowa. They spread you out, and they attack inside. So we'll see. They got a big game, Mark, at Missouri State. Can they carry this through? But Ben Dixon, his message last night was keep momentum going from that Evansville win. They certainly did against Valpo. That was the most impressive conference game I've seen them win in quite some time. And this is a team that really struggled in early December,
yeah,
late November.
Unfortunately, though, the Valley getting hit with a little bit. Well, everyone is right now as far as cancellations are concerned, but the Valley is especially getting hit right now.
Yeah, it certainly has. You know, I was supposed to have the Loyola at Southern game on Sunday, so I was all ready to take off Friday to beat the snowstorm, and I thank God I checked my email at the last minute because I had my truck loaded. I had sandbags in the back. I was going to get through that snowstorm. But Loyola's played San Francisco today, guys. And I know, Mark, you asked me about the Dons a couple weeks ago because they were one of the last undefeated. They're, I think, on a 34 net. Loyola's right around 18. Loyola beat them today by 6. They played that game in Salt Lake City. That's a huge win for Loyola and for the Valley because they're 11 in the net as a league. And it really certainly certifies Loyola as an at-large team should they not win Arch Madness.
Very true, very true. Speaking of the Valley, it's now official. Murray State is coming. They may not be alone. It sounds like, UT Arlington and Kansas City also probably going to be jumping to the Valley.
Well, I'm hearing one or the other, right? Is that what you're hearing, Scott? You know, Murray State's in, and they probably would add one more. And I've heard those two names before, UMKC and UT Arlington. So, you know, Murray, Kentucky, as I told someone last night, Carbondale, Illinois is not one of my favorite places to go, but I would put it above Murray, Kentucky.
Just degree of difficulty of winning, or did somebody do you wrong in beautiful Murray, Kentucky?
There's just nothing in those towns. I was talking to Adam Emenecker about it, because we were kind of trading some thoughts on Northern Iowa before I broadcast that game, because he had him on Sunday in my absence, and you know, he traveled to those places. I always think back to the famous words of Doug McDermott when Creighton left the Valley and went to the Big East, and he said, the best thing about this move is I no longer have to go to Terre Haute, Indiana, or to Carbondale, Illinois.
Well, let's just leave that to everyone's imagination out there.
But I've been to Murray, Kentucky. I had a couple of those games against Belmont. I tell you, certainly great tradition there. Steve Prohm, it's been a school that's not only produced great point guards, Cameron Payne and John Morant, and go right down the list, but also it's been a huge coaching tree have come out of Murray, Kentucky.
Yeah, very much so. And I know it's very early. It's only, January 6th, and shouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to bracketology at this point anyway. But I know that ESPN is going to have a brand new one coming out tomorrow. They kind of debuted it today, and you talked about multi-bid conferences and that significant win today by Loyola, because San Francisco was in, and the West Coast Conference had four, believe it or not.
Right
now might go down to three after USF lost today, but like I said, that's going to bolster them. Big 10 early anyway with eight, and the Big 12 was seven right now. So Big 12 is 7 out of 10. That's doing pretty good.
Oh yeah, Big 12. It's in the metrics. It's rated the best league in the country. The Big 10 is number two. And I tell you what, I said this to you guys before. The SEC in basketball is coming on. 10 years ago it was all a football league, but now they got some. They're getting some dudes. They're upgrading the facilities. And and Adam Emenecker had this question. He goes, "What'd you think when Loyola said they're going to leave to go to 8-10?" I said, "It was like I got kicked in the groin," because with Belmont coming in. And if Loyola would have stayed and you add a Murray State, it certainly would have made the Valley much more attractive in the metrics and maybe a two-bid league like it was when Creighton and Wichita State were back in the league. So we'll see who else they add. But bracketology, it's that time of year, even though we're the first week of January, they got to start talking about the NCAA tournament. I commented to Brad Wells last night, we're already halfway through this season, and we're 2 months away from starting – the postseason conference tournament. So this thing is flying by, guys.
What do you got coming up this week in terms of your calls, Kevin, and will you be at home?
Well, I've weekend off, but I got my fingers crossed. Indiana State at Northern Iowa on Tuesday. Indiana State had to cancel the last two games because of COVID. They actually beat Bradley last weekend with seven players, much like Texas Tech was. And then at the last minute, they pulled out the game against Evansville. So hopefully they'll be ready to go on Tuesday against Northern Iowa. But I tell you what, Mark, checking emails and the text messages, because you never know when one's going to get canceled and you might get a call to go somewhere else. So the Valley's trying to reschedule a lot of these games. I don't know how they're going to do it. Last year they built in two weekends to do reschedules. This year that didn't happen. And I think all across the country, you're going to have a lot of missed games once you get into league. And thank God all these conferences changed their policy. It's no longer a forfeit. It's going to be a no contest.
Yeah. And pretty much everybody across the board that way. And should be interesting. We're going to find out a lot more about Iowa State, I think, in the next four. Three on the road, starting at Oklahoma Saturday, then to Allen on Tuesday night. The one lone home game is against Texas. And then back to Lubbock. So we're going to find out, I think, just how strong this Iowa State team is in the next four.
Scott, if you look at their January schedule, five of their nine games are against teams ranked the top 25.
Yep.
And that is brutal. And we're throwing in one of those is Missouri in that SEC challenge is one of those nine games. And if it wasn't for that, it'd be 5 out of 8. And once again, it just shows you how strong the Big 12 is. And with Oklahoma and Texas leading, you bring in Houston, UCF. I mentioned this before, Cincinnati, BYU. The metrics aren't going to change. That league's going to be really good in basketball. And the Big 10, also brutal. I mean, Purdue has lost two games, as I mentioned earlier. That still is a head-scratcher of me because we had that team tagged as Matt Painter's first Final Four game. You look at the Big Ten, this is going to be a war in the Big Ten, guys. It's going to go – I don't think any win is going to surprise you as teams protect their home court.
All right. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. Take care, and we'll talk again next Thursday.
All right, guys, you stay warm out there because I just came from the Johnson County landfill. It is bitter cold.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thanks, Kevin.
Bye, guys.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, and our Off the Glass segment. It is brought to you by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. And, of course, Chris, a big friend of ours here at KGYM with over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction. Trust Chris. If you're in the market, buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas, he's online at shootershomes.com. We're going to get to Chris Liss of rotowire.com, so get your fantasy football questions ready to go. If you have a keeper question, if you have your league wrapping up this week, if you have some sort of crazy thing that you're playing for draft position, what have you, go ahead and give us a call or send us a text at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Mark, going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall.
Yeah, it'll be a brief one as we have a lot to get to yet today. They are off and running at the Century Tourney of Champions at Kapalua, Hawaii. Right now, early on, Garrick Higa, one of the top rookies, if not the top rookies, last year, shares the lead at 4 under par with Victor Hovland, Daniel Berger, and Eric Van Rooyen. Play continues into the evening. They're contesting the national duels in Louisville as we speak. This is for all divisions, male and female, except Division One. Number one ranked Co-College involved. The Cohawks opened with a 27-16 win over Mount St. Joseph. But then the Cohawks were upset by Rochester Institute of Technology. That's RIT.
Ritzy.
Yes. RIT with a 27-15 win. The Cohawks back in action at the top of the hour against Eastern Kentucky.
Ritzy. They're tough in wrestling, man. All right, we're going to take a break and come back and have more for you on the Gym Class. We'll talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com. Again, your text welcome at 319-366-1600. Your questions for Chris when we come back here on KGYM.
How are you going to save? With Price Busters at Menards. These prices are scary low. Add instant warmth and ambiance to your home with a 20-inch infrared electric fireplace stove. It heats up to 400 square feet for only $89.99. Or get the 56-inch Hensley Media electric fireplace that heats up to 1,000 square feet and holds up to a 65-inch TV. Pick one up for $299.99 after sale price and $100 mail-in rebate. See store for details now at Menards. Savings good through January 15th.
Big money at Menards. And that's when I realized it's called a hamburger, not a handburger, because you carry it with your hand. I was wrong, people. It's like that time I thought I couldn't make the perfect app for football. I was wrong again, people. All I had to do was make a sportsbook app where you can earn season rewards all Sunday long. Nobody's better at bettering things than Caesars.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Vivid Seats. Your ticket to hold on to your hat, edge of seat sitting, bases loaded, two outs, half court buzzer beating, 60-yard Hail Marys. Hear that pin dropping? Can they do it? They did. For your team, it was nothing. Get tickets and earn rewards with Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
Bundling car and renter's insurance with GEICO is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. So why not ask? Just say,
hey, did you get your hair cut? It looks cool. Also, have you saved even more by bundling with GEICO?
Or maybe,
hey, did you get your hair cut? It looks weird. Not weird, cool. Anyway, have you bundled with GEICO?
Or try,
hey, did you get your hair cut? It doesn't look weird at all. Anywho, have you saved by bundling with, hey, easy with that rake.
Bundling is easy with GEICO. Just ask your neighbors.
And we're back, 3:43 on the Gym Class on KGYM. Our thanks to Kevin Lehman for joining us. And we're going to talk some fantasy football with you right now. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Shoot us your questions for our next guest, Chris Liss of rotowire.com. who joins us, and his appearance is brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports and fantasy football right here on KGYM. If you have a question about a keeper or what have you, just go ahead and get it to us right now at 319-366-1600. Well, how you doing, Chris? I heard through the grapevine that you won a big league. Is this true?
Well, I won an industry league. I won the FSGA league. It was a 14-team league. I was happy to win it. But there's not that much money. It was about $400. I'll take it. Don't get me wrong. I'll take the money. But I did win an NFSC league for $7,000 too. I don't want to sell myself short, but that was a few weeks ago. That ended week 15. So yeah, I did win a league, so it could have been worse.
Well, it makes my terrible beat over the weekend. Najee Harris's run with less than a minute left for the touchdown beat me by a half a point.
That beat you? that was the Chris List team that you drafted?
Yep.
And you lost on that last Najee Harris touchdown?
Yep.
On the very last play of Monday night?
By a half a point.
Wow. Wow, that is a bad beat. That's a good story. You know, people call into our XM show on Mondays, and they're always supposed to talk about their bad beats. But they're the lamest bad beats. It's like, oh, my guy didn't score very much. You know, it's always like something ordinary. That would be a good call, Scott.
Well, you're
on Monday night, lose by half a point.
You're welcome to use it. I give you complete permission. Yeah. Out there.
I will
use it. 3-1. Man, I thought the Bears were bad, Chris. I watched your Giants against the Bears. My goodness.
You know, that offense is like, it's the worst offense in the NFL, and it's not even an NFL offense with Mike Glennon. They're going to start Jake Fromm this week, thank God. I mean, Jake Fromm probably is in over his head, but, you know, there's nowhere to go but up. And I don't know what's going on. I mean, they completed four passes all day.
Yeah.
What is, a lot of people had Saquon Barkley high in the drafts before the year. With the Giants having all sorts of offensive problems, I mean, looking ahead to next year, you got to think twice if you're even considering keeping him if you're in a keeper league, right?
Well, I mean, I think he'll go in like the third, late second, early third round, I would guess. We'll see. I mean, it's going to depend who's quarterback. You know, I mean, do they trade for Russell Wilson? Do they make a move? What do they do in the draft? They have two top 10 draft picks, and do they trade those or do they take some offensive linemen? I mean, they drafted Andrew Thomas, you know, a year and a half ago. They drafted Will Hernandez 4 years ago in the second round, and it hasn't panned out. Those guys haven't done very well. So they need to be able to block. You know, they just cannot block. And then, you know, even Danny Dimes, who's probably below average behind a decent line, I think Saquon might have a good year. But, you have injured Danny Dimes playing on a horrible line, and Saquon got hurt, and he's still getting back from that ankle injury. So who knows? But he will be cheaper than he's ever been. He'll be like a third-round pick, I think.
But you're still involved in a fantasy football matchup this week. This has got to be last week of the season. Always one of the most difficult to handicap, Chris, as you know. You got Matt LaFleur saying he's going to play his starters. He didn't want him to have 3 weeks off. But you look at other playoff teams, you just don't know. Consult rotowire.com, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to guess a little bit. I think one thing that's helped me, especially betting the games, is that people think teams like the Falcons, right, they're out. Oh, they're not going to try because they're done, whereas the Saints could get in the playoffs, so the Saints are going to try. But the teams that are done usually try. I mean, once in a while they quit, but usually they're professionals and they want to go out on a good note for a long offseason. So I always feel there's value on those teams, and you could start the players that are active on those teams with some confidence. The only teams that you have to worry about are teams like the Packers, as you said. Now, Matt LaFleur, as you said, he said they're going to play. But come on, Rodgers has a bad toe. They have a bye week locked up. And why would you even – I don't even see why they would do that, you know, but maybe they will. I kind of think maybe they'll play a quarter, you know, just kind of get the rust off, get warmed up, make a few throws. But I can't see him playing the whole game, probably not even past the first half.
Still will beat the Lions.
Yeah, maybe. You know, they might be the Tim Boyle line, but they didn't look that bad against the Seahawks.
They've been pesky over the last half of the season. They've been pesky. I tell you what, they've got maybe – we've got – I mean, every year the NFL is chock full of great wide receivers, but the rookie receivers this year – I mean, Ja'Marr Chase was just absolutely – he was undefendable on Sunday with Joe Burrow just dropping passes right in the breadbasket to him. But
well, I thought what was cool about Chase was that, you know, usually when a guy has 266 yards, like the defense will have a miscommunication. The guy will be standing there by himself 20 yards behind the last defender and the quarterback will chuck it up to him. He was catching those balls in traffic. I mean, he was snagging them – high pointing those things on the move. I mean, it was, those catches were incredible. And Ja'Marr Chase is very exciting. And, you know, of course, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown looked good the last few weeks. There's a bunch of guys, you know, a bunch of the young, you know, Jalen Waddle looked pretty good this year. Devonta Smith. I mean, there's a lot of depth in this wide receiver class.
Yeah, St. Brown really has emerged as a guy, I think. If you're in a keeper league, I think, you know, you could do worse than St. Brown.
Well, one thing the Lions have is a pretty good offensive line. And so, you know, Goff is not great, but he's just, you know, he's an average quarterback. And you have a good offensive line, you know, those guys, those routes can develop. I mean, and Amon-Ra St. Brown seems like a go-to kind of guy that they can throw the ball to, you know, 8-9 times a game. So, yeah, I think he'll go in like the fifth round next year.
Chris, what'd you make of AB's behavior last weekend?
I mean, I don't know everything that happened. So I guess it really depends on whether he's telling the truth, right? Like if his ankle was bad and apparently it was leading up to the game and he was asked to go in and he couldn't play and then the coach, you know, told him to get out of there because of it, then he's kind of in the right and he may have a lawsuit. I mean, you know, he took off his shirt. That was pretty goofy, but I mean, who cares really? I mean, that's not really a big deal. So it's just that people know how crazy Antonio Brown's been in the past. So they assume that he was just creating the drama out of nothing, but you know, we don't really know. So, you know, it really depends what happened. If Arians really did try to force him to go in with a bad ankle, then it's Arians who's kind of got to account for that. But if Brown was just kind of creating drama, then it's on him. Either way, he's not on the Bucs anymore. And, I don't know if it is going to take a chance on him next year when he's 34.
True.
He looked pretty nimble running off the field.
Yeah, he did not look, you know, crippled or anything. You know, yeah, that is bad for his argument because, you know, I guess it's one thing to have to run routes as a wide receiver, but you shouldn't be like so moving so easily, you know, if you're really that hurt. You're right.
Yeah. Hey, before we let you go here, a couple things. First of all, thanks for all the help this year. We do appreciate it. Our listeners appreciate it and everything you guys do at rotowire.com. It is a terrific site. And if there are some people, players that you're kind of have your eye on for next year that maybe have flown under the radar a little bit. I don't know, just a couple of them anyway that if you're in a keeper league, you might look at. But even if you're not, that you're looking at next year that might bust through. Are there a couple of them out there?
Well, I think you always want to kind of skate to where the puck's going, right? So, like, I like the young running backs, don't have mileage. So, you know, this year would have been Jonathan Taylor is the obvious one. But, like, Javonte Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, these young guys, they're in timeshares right now, but you know how guys get hurt. I would stock up on those guys. DeAndre Swift was banged up this year, but he was very good when he was healthy. Look for some of the first, second-year running backs with low mileage that showed a spark. And I think that's where you go. And I mean, the receivers are mostly pretty obvious, but, you know, maybe some, you know, second-year and third-year receivers that show, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a good example, but people are kind of on him. But just, you know, players that, you know, Jerry Jeudy had a bad year, but what if they get a good quarterback? You know, some guys with upside that that are young.
I'm hoping Russell Wilson doesn't end up in Denver.
Yeah, well, that's right. For the Chiefs, that would be a fun, it'll be a good, some good battles, though, if he does. Herbert.
Yeah.
Mahomes, Wilson,
yeah,
division.
No doubt. Hey, Chris, as we mentioned, appreciate you coming on this year. We'll get hooked up with you again as we get toward, we hope, a baseball season. Fingers crossed,
yeah,
on
right.
That. But thanks to you and everybody at rotowire.com. And one final time here, if people want to check things out for the free trial, let us know about that.
Thanks, Scott. Always enjoy coming on your show. And for those of you who want to check out RotoWire one last week, rotowire.com/try. It is a free 10-day trial. You don't need a credit card. You get all the start-sit info. All our baseball projections are on the site. All the basketball and hockey is going on. Again, rotowire.com/try.
All right. All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Best of luck. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. Very quick break. We'll come back, and we will get you a Bowling Night in America wrap-up after this. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Oh, and it was an extra special Bowling Night in America last night. Our recap is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to Tom, the entire staff. They are the official home of Bowling Night in America. And a festive one it was indeed last night, Mark, as the Rusty Nails and the Pin Pals went at it.
Well, sort of. Rusty Nails coming away with a 26-4 victory over the Pin Pals. The Schmedium May City Bowl jacket is back in our possession, retained in our possession. The Rusty Nails moving up to third place in the Adult Evergreen League after a big night. Started with a huge first game and carried on through and sorry about that, pals.
Yeah, well, it was 10-0 in the first game, and then we took the lead about halfway through the second game, and the guys kind of looked over us and said, well, that didn't last very long, did it? nope, we really have no rebuttal to that because we bowled really well. The fourth best game in the league we started off through Adam last night.
Yeah, 4 600s for the Rusty Nails last night. And a lot of very, very good scores in the league. Chris Comer with a 300 game, high game in the league last night. Marcus Mitz right behind with a 299 and a big 824 series. Suppose Marcus left a 10 pin, huh?
I don't know what Marcus left, to be honest with you.
All right.
He could tell you. It's about his
a lot of good scores last night and a good night for the Rusty Nails.
About his 18th 299, I'm sure. And, 824 is getting it done. Yeah, and I had a very good night, like 651, and it was like 16th best or something like that series.
Yeah.
And that tells you how good the scores were last night. But you want to improve your bowling, stop by at May City, the pro shop, or if you just want to go out and enjoy some family time, good friends getting together, and trying your luck at some open bowling. They've got those opportunities available, Mark.
Or even clean out my locker for me. I'll give you the combination.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, give May City Bowl a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Had so many people on the text line say, I hope Iowa has the going through the cup check line before they head out to Kohl Center tonight. If you know what that means, have a chuckle. If you don't, we're not going to explain it to you right now. But
as a former catcher, I'm very familiar.
Iowa, Wisconsin tonight. I think the Hawks got a good chance. I'm not going to go out and say they're going to win this thing, but I think they got a really good chance. It's a good time to play Wisconsin. What do you think?
I think Iowa has a pretty well-rounded team, but going on the road at the Kohl Center is always difficult. I'm just anxious to take a look.
I think it's going to be fun. More on that with Todd and Alex coming up next right here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the lakes are stocked with ice-cold Dr. Pepper, and the autumn winds rustle with the sweet smell of football glory.
And Dr. Pepper.
It's a land flowing with onion dip, where even the food pyramid is